Thanks for joining me this morning on Minding Your Health. I'm Roberta Fernandez, and this is a show that helps you find ways to take back control in issues regarding your mental and physical health. I'm a board-certified hypnotist and a certified hypnosis instructor at the Fair Hypnosis Center in Eden Prairie, and I use hypnosis to help people succeed where nothing else has worked. And every Saturday morning at 10 a.m., I'm here with you guys on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Today, we're going to talk about feelings and emotions. And I have a very special guest this morning with me in the studio. I have Linda Schutz, and Linda is another hypnotist that works in my office. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Roberta.
So, Linda, you know, I talk, as we do all the time during the week, we talk a lot about emotions, and even on this show. And I thought it was time to take a deeper dive in this area. So for those of you that are listening, I'm a certified instructor with the National Guild of Hypnotists, and I'm also a certified professional hypnosis instructor through the Banyan Hypnosis Center in Texas. And lots of the information that we're going to be talking about today comes from a book called The Secret Language of Feelings, and it was written by Cal Banyan. And Linda is trained in these methods as well as I am. And many of our clients, depending on the kind of work that they're there to do, get this book when they come in. So, Linda, you know, before the show began, we were talking about how a computer is a great metaphor for how the mind works. Would you like to share that?
Yeah, you know, your subconscious mind is like a hard drive, and it has an endless storage capacity. It's the storage place for your memories, experiences, your emotions, your beliefs, everything that's ever happened to you. And you don't even know most of what's in it because it just kind of stays there quiet, you know, behind the scenes, in the background, just like those cookies that are left on your website or your computer after you visit a website. Or it could be like software that you installed years ago but you no longer use. And none of these things cause a problem until one day you install some new software or you get a virus from something you downloaded. Things start to go haywire. You know, it might be slow at first or it might be instantly. And we
exactly.
all know what that's like.
You know, oh my God, I've lost my mind.
And then what do? You pick up your computer and you want to throw it against the wall.
That's right.
But then you slow down and you use your analytical, logical, conscious mind, and you go, okay, I can solve this problem. But your conscious mind can't figure it out because it doesn't understand the problem. And it isn't experienced enough with solving the problem. But your mind discovers a new way to work around that. It's so brilliant. It creates a distraction like, I'm just going to clean my keyboard, or I'm just going to keep rebooting. That'll work. That keeps working. On, off, on, off. And those distractions usually work for quite a while.
Yep.
But then the real problem never does get solved, does it?
No, it doesn't.
That virus or that software conflict keeps growing. And before long, what does it do? It freezes your computer. Yes, I've been there.
I get that little wheel, that circle that just keeps going, that never stops.
Or
the black screen of death, they call it.
Or that little circle of death. The client told me that one. So now what you have to do is you have to take your computer into a specialist, and you're going to have to pay for it when you should have taken care of it before. It's kind of like you should wear sunscreen. Everybody wear sunscreen. So the cost isn't just monetary. You've also lost productivity, you've lost time, and it's really bad if you've lost data.
Yep.
So what do? You beat yourself up. I know I should have done it. I know I should have done it. Because you know you should have done it, and you shouldn't have ignored the problem. And so now you're just really frustrated with your computer, right? So maybe you just give up or you find a more powerful distractor, like, I'm just going to use my tablet. Oh, it's all on my phone.
I'll just forget
really,
about that.
It's just on my phone. And so you get to ignore the problem even longer. Yay! So the specialist might finally say, look, you've just got to get a new computer. And then you go, okay, that solves it. But it really doesn't. It never solved it in the first place. So this is where this fancy metaphor ends. You know, we only have one body and one mind, And our subconscious is that supercomputer, the only one that we get, and it has to serve us for the rest of our lives.
Absolutely. And you know, Linda, you and I talk about it. We see it with our clients all the time. There's a huge connection between the mind and the body. I talk about this a lot on this show. Your thoughts become things because the brain can't tell the difference between what's real and what's vividly imagined. And your thoughts can create real emotions and feelings and behaviors. So it's time to dive a little deeper and look at these emotions because they play a role in all of your health. It plays a huge role in pain. And I know, I think it was back in January, I did a segment on pain where we had clients come in, some of our old clients, and talk about their pain and how hypnosis helped. And one of the women had emotional pain. Mm-hmm. She'd never had surgery. She'd never had an injury, but she had real physical pain. So let's kind of take a deep dive here. Most people think that feelings and emotions are the same thing. But in fact, they're totally different. In The Secret Language of Feelings that Cal wrote, he explains how emotions and feelings manifest in your body. And remember, when we talk about the model of the mind with our clients, we talk about how the subconscious and the conscious mind have very different jobs. And they're very different. And they don't really communicate with each other except through way of the body. So what happens is that we have a perception. Something comes in through our senses. We smell something, we see something, we taste something. And what you perceive interacts in the subconscious mind. That's the home of our emotions. And it starts to manifest. Well, before it does that, it kind of communicates, you know, what are my beliefs around this? What are my experiences with this? And it creates emotion in your subconscious. But this emotion isn't recognized by the conscious mind until the unconscious mind, the body, generates a feeling. So, for example, when I get scared, I might feel the hair rise on the back of my neck, or I might break out into a sweat. If I'm sad, I might cry. So my body generates tears. When I get really worried or anxious about something, my heart might start to really beat fast. So negative emotions are a warning sign that there's a need, a want, or desire that's not being met. And let me ask you a question, Linda. Do you think all emotions are good?
Yes.
Right answer.
Right answer. All really, really good.
They are. And we tend to think that emotions are bad, right? But they tell you to pay attention because there's something there that needs your attention. So Cal compares emotions to the light on your dashboard that tells you you need oil. So you're driving in your car and the oil light goes on and, you know, it says, uh-oh, something's wrong. So you drive into the gas station and you fill your car up with gas and you drive off. Your car, like the computer analogy you gave, it's going to work for a while, but you never paid attention to what that light was really telling you. And it's a lot better to pay for a quart of oil than it is for a $1,000 repair job when your car's engine breaks down. So after the emotion is felt in the body as a physical feeling, now the conscious mind can connect to what's happening. And the conscious mind goes into its job of analyzing and trying to figure it out because it's not emotional at all. So it's going to use logic and reason to understand. The problem is that it really never gets the emotional part because that's the job of the subconscious mind. So, you know, one can't perform the other's job. What do you think about that, Linda? Did I sum that up right? Tell me.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. And so we talked earlier, I mentioned earlier that all emotions are good, right? Even the bad ones. Yeah. But that's not how we've been taught, is it?
Well, and I've had clients that say, no, I can't feel angry because feeling angry is wrong. But really, all of your life you're told how to deal with those what are considered negative emotions. And there's no such thing as negative emotions. But if you have to put a negative and a positive to something, I guess we'd call the positive emotions joy and gratitude.
Yeah.
And the negative would be the anger, the fear, and all of those emotions that none of us like to experience. So while while we're growing up, you know, I remember my dad always saying, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Right.
So then you just, then he's got six kids that are quiet. And they're just burying everything. And you're told to keep a stiff upper lip and, you know, crying is just for babies and suck it up and be strong, all of these things. And it's just a way to, for you to put a damper on all of those emotions. So you hear those voices in your head from your parents and your grandparents, and, you know, it just goes on. And through your whole life, even though you heard those when you were a child, you're still hearing it in your head as you grow up. Emotional pain as well as physical pain can become like a false badge of courage.
It does. And, you know, I was thinking about that, how women, for example, I like to use the example of childbirth. Right? Mm-hmm. You know, the pain that we're always telling our children, especially when we're angry at them, like, you know, you don't know what I went through to bring you into this world, you know?
But it feels so good.
Yeah. And we all do that, right? And so we use that emotion in a negative way, but it instills a belief, right?
Yes, it does.
It instills a belief. And so when you were growing up, always hearing those things, especially young boys, you know, mm-hmm. be a man, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, real men don't cry, and you have to be strong, or, you know, take care of the family. You're the man in the family now. You know, you see that in the movies all the time, right? Mm-hmm. But this happens in real life. So when we come back, Linda, we're going to pick up the conversation here, and we're going to continue talking about how all emotions are good, and they're just those warning signs that there's this need or want or desire that's not being met. So we'll be back in a moment after the commercial break. I'm here with Linda Schutz, another hypnotist at the Fair Hypnosis Center, and be talking about those pesky feelings. Welcome back, everybody. We're here today in the studio with Linda Schutz. She's a fellow hypnotist at the Fair Hypnosis Center, and we're talking about the secret language of feelings. And when we were during the break, Linda was giving me another metaphor about roller coasters. Linda, share that with our audience. It was really good.
Well, I was just thinking about that yesterday because I think Valley Fair opened yesterday.
Yeah, I think
and they show that new ride with the people spinning 40 miles an hour and go, oh, my gosh. But it's like when you you watch a YouTube video or something on Facebook and you see the two people on the roller coaster and one person is laughing their head off and they got their arms raised up and they're flying free and the other person is screaming and crying and just filled with fear. So there's two people having the exact same experience. So they're perceiving the same thing, they're seeing the same thing, but their perspective is completely different. Their emotions are completely different. And Roberta, why is that happening?
Well, sometimes what happens, I think, is that the brain defaults to something that is familiar. And it's just like a habit, right? All habits are this way. We get used to doing things in a certain order or in a certain way, and we just automatically do it. And emotions can be the same way. Responses can be learned behaviors. Pain can become a habit. Mm-hmm. It starts out as a feeling, but it becomes a habit. Every time I get up out of that chair, I know my back is going to hurt. And whether your back hurts or not, you perceive that it does because it's habitual. And emotions can be that way too. So, for example, I had a woman in the office that she's like, I'm always crying. And I said, well, tell me what you mean. She said, I cry at everything. I cry when I'm happy. I cry when I'm sad. I cry at commercials. I cry all the time. And what happens, I think, is there becomes a disconnect there between that conscious and subconscious mind, or it just becomes crying becomes a habit for this woman. Obviously, we needed to get to the reason of why that was happening, mm-hmm. but it is very interesting because the body only has so many ways of expressing things.
That's right.
And it gets comfortable with something, or maybe one time you burst into tears and you satisfied the emotion, and so it said, oh, hey, tears work. Right? Mm-hmm. I got her attention. She did what I needed. I felt better. So I'm going to cry every time. So it's kind of weird how the wires can get crossed there. So let's talk about distractors, Linda.
Oh, I've got a good one for you.
Okay, good.
Chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, that's one of my favorite distractions.
And with a lot of people that come into us that are willing to release their weight, we don't want to say weight loss because it always you always find it again.
That's right.
But they come in, and we're dealing with the emotional aspect of the weight gain. And if you go back to childhood, you know, they're 3 years old, and they're crying, and grandma gives them a cookie. Oh, honey, this cookie will make you feel better. You'll feel better. And that's really sweet and wonderful, but at the same time, it's imprinting that feeling, that emotion that's attached to the situation. And so then as they get older, say they're 12 and they're upset, they have a Snickers bar. Oh, that made me feel so much better because that cookie made me feel better when I was 3, and now the Snickers makes me feel better. And then pretty soon they learn, you know what? Just all sugar makes me feel good. It doesn't have to be a cookie or a Snickers. It can be any kind of sugar.
That's right. And we start using it for like everyday stuff like stress or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's because it is a distractor. Yeah.
It makes us feel good. Yeah. And we need to feel good because something is making us feel bad.
Right. But what's the problem with distractors then if it makes us feel good?
Well, if they start to take over and kind of wreak havoc and make you gain a lot of weight, or you start missing time at work, or you start getting sick, or let's say you're smoking, and that's beginning to make your body ill. So those distractors they're not always healthy.
Yeah, and the reality is, if I'm sad, there's no kind of cookie or amount of cookies that's going to take that sadness away, is there?
That's right.
Yeah, so we tend to start using that distractor more and more. Maybe we eat more, or we gamble more, or we sext more, or we
shop
more. Oh, my gosh. Or we work more.
Right.
That's a distractor
right.
for people.
Yeah.
They've got problems at home, and they don't want to go home. So they just have to stay and work long hours, which adds tiredness and
right.
stress, and it's just this vicious cycle, isn't it?
But yet all of that is easier than having to deal with an emotion that you don't want to deal with.
That's exactly
And so
right.
then you keep burying it and burying it, and all of a sudden you've got back pain. Why do I have this back pain? Or you have something going on with your body.
Right, right. And sometimes those distractors then end up becoming the problem.
Yes.
And so now we started with one problem that we never really identified in emotion. We haven't really satisfied it in the way that it should be taken care of. And we've created another problem, haven't we?
And a lot of our clients will say, I know exactly when it started. I know exactly what happened. And chances are it wasn't, because just like that cookie on your computer, that software malfunction, it hasn't been dealt with.
Exactly. And it takes a lot of energy to suppress these emotions,
yes,
right?
Does.
You know, when I was first in hypnosis school, my instructor gave this quote by a guy named Henry Maudsley. And Henry said, sorrow not vented in tears can make your organs weep. And I know when I talk to my clients, I adapt that a little bit. I take out the word sorrow because it really is any emotion.
Yes.
Sooner or later, I mean, emotions are meant to be expressed. They are like that oil light or that brake light or that, you know, check engine light on your dashboard. They're there for a reason, to say there's something wrong here. And if they're not expressed, if you keep stuffing them, if you keep them inside, sooner or later they're going to manifest either physically or emotionally. And I know a lot of doctors, when people come into our office, we get medical referrals if they've had diagnoses to make sure that we can safely work with that client. And I have doctors tell me all the time how many times a patient will exhibit real physical symptoms, but there's no physiological cause for them. And some doctors make a terrible mistake and say, it's all in your head.
Mm-hmm. That makes them feel good.
Yeah, it makes them feel really good. Like, okay, now he thinks I'm crazy.
Right. But
the reality is that the symptoms become real. They might actually have pain, or they might actually have eczema, or mm-hmm. or whatever. But the doctor can't find a physical cause for them, so they kind of slough it off. So it's really interesting when your mind doesn't get what it needs. It's going to create something bigger and bigger until it gets your attention.
That's right.
And it has a way of doing that. So sometimes I have people come in the office for one reason. For example, they might want to quit smoking or lose weight. And while in hypnosis, they find themselves identifying emotions that they didn't know existed. Because they weren't aware of them. And a lot of times this happens frequently with pain. I don't want to get too deep into this because we're running out of time here. But the point I want to make before we go on break is that emotions allow the feelings to continually to manifest in your body. It might be as pain, it might be as a physical symptom. And especially with pain, when the body's already been healed, there's no reason to feel that anymore. But this is where your mind and your body start to short circuit issues. So when we come back, we're going to pick up there. I'm here with Linda, and we're talking about pesky feelings and emotions. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Roberta Fernandez, and you're listening to Minding Your Health here on AM 950. Today, we're talking with Linda Schutz, another hypnotist at the Fair Hypnosis Center, about the secret language of feelings, and your radio host today forgot to give you the call-in number. So just in case there's any of you out there anxious, chomping at the bit to talk about secret language of feelings, we are taking calls at 952-946-6205. So Linda, when we left, we are talking about these emotions, and we've seen all of these things with our clients, haven't we?
Yes.
Yeah. Why don't you give me an example of maybe something that you've dealt with?
I have dealt with quite a few people that have IBS, irritable bowel syndrome. And they've been to, of course, before we see them as a client, we want to make sure that we have the medical referral. We want to make sure that there isn't anything significant to their health that's going on.
Right.
And so when the doctor determines that there really is no reason for you to have this IBS, and we also ask them if they've looked at it from a nutritional standpoint.
Right.
So when everything has been exhausted and we take them on as a client, at least I have found with my IBS clients that it's usually anger. That's, you know, we ask every client, and I find it to be so interesting. Every single client, we say, we know that you have an emotion inside of you that you don't like. We don't even tell them what it is, and we don't ask them what it is. There's a feeling inside of you that you don't like. If it could be any place in your body, where would it be? We always ask for a location in the body.
Right.
So tune into that emotion. And for IBS, of course, it's usually in the gut. And it's just, it's tight, it's stressed, it's just all that anger has been held in there. Now, sometimes it is other emotions, or it's a combination of emotions. But more often than not, there's anger that's stuck in there.
Right. And when they can realize that, when they realize that, what happens, Linda?
Then we work them through the process of releasing that anger. First of all, you have to identify the emotion. Mm-hmm. And then you have to have a reality check. Is this justified? Is this real? Am I blowing it up out of proportion? You know, how long do I need to hang on to this?
Right.
And then, okay, now that we know where it is, we know what it is, now what can we do? What would help you to resolve this, to release this? And it has to be up to the client. I can't just say, and now, release.
Abracadabra.
I wish I could.
Yeah. It just doesn't work that way.
But no, they have to figure it out.
That's right. And they always do, don't they?
Yes, they do.
That's the amazing thing. You know, I tell my clients all the time, I just have a process that we work through. you're going to do the work, because what I know for certain, and let me ask you if this has been your experience, the subconscious mind always knows where to go, and it knows what to do to fix it, doesn't it?
And sometimes the subconscious mind goes there immediately.
Yep.
Sometimes it dilly-dallies around for about an hour or so, and that's a distractor.
It is.
It's protecting itself. I'm not going to let go of this.
That's right, because a habit is comfortable, right?
That's right. We know it.
We do, and we see this even with women, for example, with domestic violence, who are in abusive situation, they feel, at least they know what to expect, and they get used to it. Mm-hmm. And now somebody who is on the outside looking in goes, gosh, I can't even relate to that. I don't understand that. But there is a level of comfort and expectation with this. And sometimes in some of the problems that we see with our clients, there's secondary gain. So there's actually a benefit to having this situation, and they're not really ready to let go of that yet, or maybe they don't realize it. You know, I often give myself as an example about how suppressing emotions can affect the body. About 15 years ago, I became really ill with Graves' disease, which is an autoimmune thyroid disease where the body actually attacks itself. I was very sick. At the time, my resting heart rate was 142. My TSH levels were 48, and usually top range is 5.5. I was really, really sick. And, you know, so my weight problem started with a physical issue. But when I look back on what was going on at that time, I had had some pretty severe emotional trauma at that time. And I remember my doctor, my endocrinologist, telling me that Graves' disease is usually brought on something that is physically or emotionally traumatic. And after some time passed, you know, I started to lose weight, and then I would gain it back, and I would lose it, and I'd gain it back. I'd find it again, like you talked about. And I realized that my body was sending me something that I couldn't ignore with that disease. I had taken that emotional trauma, and I had stuffed it deep. And for a while, it was much safer for me to have more weight on my body. It was protection for me than it was to let it go. And as soon as I started losing weight and people would say, oh, wow, Roberta, you're looking really good, I'd be like, oh, with both forks, right? But not realizing that consciously, I'd just start stuffing my face. So that emotion had set itself up in my body, and it was trying really hard to express itself. I ignored it, and finally it made me really sick. Really, really sick. And so once I got rid of that emotional burden that I had been carrying that I hadn't really realized was affecting me so physically, then I was able to really start releasing those pounds.
Doing the work.
That's exactly right. So, and we see this in a lot of instances, don't we?
I tell every client that every emotion you have has a physical manifestation. So like, even for you listeners now, I want you to imagine yourself really happy. Oh, so happy. And you can feel that in your body. Mm-hmm. And now feel really sad. And you feel that differently in your body.
You do.
So every emotion has a physical manifestation. Take, for instance, people with the fear of public speaking. Mm-hmm. I've had clients come in, they have panic attacks, and they're sweating, and their heart is beating so fast, and their hands are cold, and their mouth is dry. And okay, so then we have to figure out, what is it about speaking in front of people that is showing up in your body in a way that you don't like and that you don't want anymore? Do you want to get rid of this? Yes, of course I do. Who wouldn't want to get rid of that? And we find more often than not that there is some level of inadequacy. Now, every single person, even you listeners right now, you all have some level of inadequacy. But for some people, it's just off the charts.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes it is an experience that they've had in the past. Sometimes it's something they've been told.
Yes.
And you know, sometimes they're bad and sometimes they're actually good. Like I know, especially around weight, you said earlier, sometimes food becomes comfort.
Yes.
Or a feeling of safety. So it's not something horrible that's happened to somebody. It's something good that produced a comfortable, good feeling, a loving feeling, and it's just blown out of the water in proportion. Yeah.
And it is kind of good to have some level of trepidation or excitement or even a little bit of fear before speaking in front of a large group because
right,
you have
you
a
sharp.
Lot on the yeah, it keeps yep. you sharp. It's better than going out there being all lackadaisical and
yeah, whatever, right?
Yeah,
yeah, you want to be at your best. You want
right.
to be sharp.
So there is
yeah.
some positive
yeah.
each way.
So let's, Linda, let's start talking about these emotions themselves. Now, we have a lot of words that describe emotions. Mm-hmm. What I love about Cal's book is that he narrowed this down to roughly 11. We're going to talk about the first eight. But there are really only eight primary feelings or emotions. Mm-hmm. Everything else is just a subset. I personally believe there's really only two. Fear and love. Everything
yeah, yeah.
is on that continuum, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. we have emotions in between, but they stem from that. And mm-hmm. I see that with clients every single day. I mean, we don't see too much on the love end because people don't always come
they
to
don't
us.
Come in for that.
Yeah,
nobody
for
good
help stuff,
with
right?
That.
They don't need help with that, right?
Because you help me with my joy.
That's right. Actually, we can, though. We can make that better, right? We can really make that more joyful. But there are eight primary emotions that Cal talks about. The first one is boredom. And boredom is a primary feeling that is trying to tell you that you need a challenge, that you need some growth. And so a lot of people eat in response to boredom.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a huge one. And we get awful habits like picking our nails or maybe twirling our hair or, you know, licking our lips. And a lot of that comes from boredom too. What's another emotion that Cal talks about, Linda?
Anger.
Oh, it's a big one, isn't it?
It feels so good to get that one out.
Yeah, it does. What's
but
anger a sign of?
Anger means it's not fair.
That's right.
You know, we've been, a lot of us have been raised not to express that because it just, nobody else wants to deal with it is what it is.
Right.
But anger means it's not fair. Either some situation or some person has not been fair to me.
Exactly. I see parents with little children all the time. You know, kids get angry a lot because it's not fair.
That's
They're
right.
always being told what to do, how to do it, when to do it. And if you're little and people are always doing that to you, you're going to think it's not fair too, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's not the emotion that's bad. It's telling you something's not fair. Can I make it fair? Sometimes how we deal with anger, how we express it isn't appropriate.
Right.
Right, right. But anger itself is a chance to make things fair.
Mm-hmm.
And world history has been changed because people have gotten angry enough, right?
Right.
There's a close sibling to anger, and that is guilt.
Yes.
How does that differ from anger, Linda?
I have not been fair to someone or something.
That's right, or to myself even.
Or, right.
Yeah,
right.
And guilt is something that I find people are very confused about.
Yes.
A lot of times when people feel inadequate, they think they feel guilty. So let's skip to inadequacy. What's that a sign of, Linda?
You need to start managing your life. You need to have success managing your life.
You need to feel good about it, right?
Right.
You need to feel like you're enough, right? Yeah. And so sometimes people, like I had a woman said to me, oh, you know, I'm trying to get my sister to go see a therapist, but she just won't do it. I feel so guilty. And I said to her, well, how did you hurt your sister? Have you been unfair to your sister? And she said, well, I didn't. I'm trying to help her. And I said, well, you're not feeling guilty. You're feeling inadequate because you couldn't talk her into it. You weren't good enough to get her to see this, right? So the issue is how we satisfy those becomes very differently. If we start looking at the wrong feeling, we're never going to satisfy
That's
it appropriately,
right.
are we? Yeah. What's another emotion that Cal talks about?
Loneliness.
Oh, and what do we need when loneliness is rearing its head?
we need to have more meaningful relationships in our lives or replace some that don't have enough meaning for us.
Yeah. So that's right. And so pick up the phone and call somebody would be a great way to satisfy loneliness, not stuff your mouth with a dozen chocolate chip cookies, right? Which is what
or watch too many video games or movies.
Right, TV, that's right, right. So we're about halfway there through these emotions. When we come back from our break, we're going to pick up with the rest of the secret language of feelings. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Roberta Fernandez, and you're listening to Minding Your Health. We're here today with Linda Schutz, another hypnotist at the Fair Hypnosis Center, talking about the secret language of feelings. And when we left off, we were talking about some of the eight primary feelings. And one of the ones we didn't get to yet was sadness. Sadness is another big reason why people come in to see us. And sadness is just a signal that we've lost something that had value to us or someone. And this could be in, you know, with a death. It could be maybe not having the childhood that you wanted. And you're sad because that childhood lost the experience that they were really desiring. So sadness can be a big one too.
Yeah, or losing a job that you loved.
Absolutely. Yeah. And let's continue down our list. Linda, what's next?
I don't know. Where did we leave off?
Stress.
Stress. Oh, nobody has that. That one is so overrated.
Actually, we're going to be talking about that really soon on the show.
Yeah, stress is just being able to manage your life. And if you have a lot of stress, you're not managing it properly.
Yep, and at least in the way that you feel it needs to be managed, right?
So
when we talk about stress in a couple of weeks, we'll talk about how we can maybe do that better. And then what's the last one, the big one?
That is fear.
Yes.
And my husband calls me Chicken Little.
Uh-oh.
He says, you Chicken Little everything. Fear means to be safe. And
right.
I always want to be safe. I am so safety-minded.
Yes.
That he calls me Chicken Little.
But you know, I think in the last show or a couple of shows ago, we talked about the brain being wired to protect us. Its job is to protect us. And so that is all about safety, right? Feeling secure. So our brain is hardwired to look for danger. It's why we always see the worst in everything, right? We always, it's easier to go negative than it is positive. So our brain is always watching out for something that might harm us. So fear is a big one, isn't it?
Fear is wonderful. It's very good. It's one of the best, most positive emotions of all. It keeps us alive.
That's right.
If we as humans did not have fear, we would all, well, we'd all be dead.
That's right.
We would be jumping off buildings and running in front of cars. So we need fear. It protects us.
Yeah, and the interesting thing I find working with clients is that a lot of times people might know that they're feeling fearful, but they don't know about what. And so our minds have a tendency to create this dragon inside of us that gets bigger and bigger and bigger until it's so big that we don't think we can slay it. And the thing that I find interesting when I pose this question to them, I'll say, how do you know that dragon even exists? Because people become fearful of what they don't know. They'll say, there must be something, you know, there must be something. And so their conscious mind, needing a solution, starts imagining all of these crazy things, right? And they may not even be true.
Fear is all future-based.
It can be, yes, that's right. Absolutely. What do you mean by that?
Well, like take for instance, I work with golfers as well. Well,
yeah.
This time of year, they're all coming in.
Oh, thanks for reminding me. We have a workshop the 16th. It's coming up at the Hypnosis Center. Call us if you want to come.
So every time I work with golfers, it's there's fear. They're afraid they're going to hit it in the water. They're afraid they're going to get the yips. They're going to do this or they're going to do that. It hasn't even happened yet.
Right.
It's all future based.
Yep. But it's based on what
past experience.
Past experiences.
And that wonderful imagination.
Exactly. So we take what's happened in the past because we know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know it did happen and we apply it to the future.
Yes.
When there's really no need to do that. So Kel also talks in his book about a couple of other feelings, three other feelings. And these are not primary feelings, but these are feelings that come as a result of the eight feelings that we've talked about: boredom, anger, guilt, sadness, loneliness, inadequacy, stress, and fear. So the secondary feeling of frustration is when we have a primary feeling, for example, like sadness, and we distract, we try to do other things to avoid feeling sad because it's not doesn't feel good to feel sad, right? It works for a little while, those distractors, and then they stop working, and we get frustrated. Well, wait a minute, this has always worked in the past. Why isn't it working now? And we create a new feeling of frustration that is built upon the original feeling. So now we have two emotions going on. And frustration tells us that we need to meet the needs of whatever it is, whatever emotion it is, through our own efforts. And we're not doing that. Then we have a tertiary feeling, don't we, Linda?
And that would be depression.
Ooh, tell
which
us
can
about
be
depression.
A wonderful gift because, and we're not talking about clinical depression. We're talking about you've been frustrated, you've done the same thing over and over and over, and then you get to the point where you go, oh, I just can't do it anymore. I can't. And you just like lay down the gauntlet and you give up, and it gives your mind a chance to rest.
That's right.
Your mind and your body.
So it's kind of a natural way of keeping us from exploding and totally losing it where we say, I've had enough, I got to get a break from this. So we need that in order to become effective again and hopeful, right?
Yes.
So that natural depression is a really a good thing. And then there is kind of an outlier emotion, and that's sympathy. And sympathy is not a primary feeling. It is a secondary feeling. When sympathy is when we have to separate our past feelings from another's. So sometimes clients will get triggered. Emotions will get triggered. Let's say you have a friend whose mother dies, and you are expressing sympathy to her. What's really important is to make sure that you're keeping the boundaries clear. Am I feeling sympathy for her loss, or does that trigger something that maybe when my mother died, for example? So sympathy can be very complicated in a person's, you know, whole outlook. So Linda, Cal teaches a 1-2-3 on how to deal with these emotions. Tell our audience what that means.
Yeah, I think I touched on that one when we started out today. Number one is identifying that emotion, which sometimes people have a hard time doing. That's the kicker right there. If you can identify that emotion. Number two, is this real? Am I making more of it than I should? Is this in perspective? It's the reality check. And three, okay, now that I understand that emotion and it is justified or whatever, what can I do about it? What can I do that's healthy for me?
Right, and that actually satisfies
yes.
it, that actually addresses what that need, want, or desire is. Linda, thank you so much for being here today. I was really excited to have you on the show. It was high time to do that.
I didn't know this was on my bucket list.
I know. You're a radio star now, and in addition to being an amazing hypnotist at the Fair Hypnosis Center. So thanks for joining
me. Thank you.
I want to remind our listeners, you can find Linda and I at the Fair Hypnosis Center. You can reach us at Fair, F-A-R-E, hypnosis.com or 952-934-1315. I want you to join me next week here on AM 950 when I'm going to be helping you take back control by discussing chiropractic care with Dr. Angela Graper from Family Focused Chiropractic. It's going to be a great show, so I hope you join us next week here at 950 AM at 10 o'clock. I'm Roberta Fernandez. Have a mindful week.